Welcome to A Taste Of, a program brought to you in collaboration with the International School of Languages. This is Michelle Caruana-Dinghi here. Today, we're going to be getting a taste of German, and with me here today we have Alfred. Hi, Alfred.
Hi, Michelle, and welcome to the listeners of your popular program.
Who's going to look with us on the different aspects of German. The first one that Alfred, I think, is quite keen to go for and to teach me is a little bit about the language.
I'll try in this little time I have.
Oh, yes, you could try, because I did try to study German. I haven't told you before this, huh? And I did get stuck a little bit, but...
Well, I think we should start by saying that German is one of the world's major languages. And it's the most widely spoken mother tongue in the European Union.
How did it start, German, Alfred?
If you go into the linguistic aspect, German is considered to be one of the Indo-European languages, somewhere around about the 11th century in Indian territories. No, that's where it started. But I think we shouldn't go into that.
I actually find it fascinating that it's an old language like that.
Yes, I mean, today it's spoken by over 105 million native speakers. I don't know whether you know that.
No.
So if you know German, you can communicate with so many people, no? 105 million native speakers, 83 million in Germany. Then there are about 8 million in Switzerland, another 8 million in Austria, and the rest is spread all over other areas. It's spoken by 80 million non-native speakers. It's widely taught in schools, universities.
But, Alfred, why is it so popular?
Yeah, because, I mean, as I told you, in the European Union, if we concentrate on the European Union, it's one of the official languages of the EU, and together with English and French, it's one of the working languages of the European Commission. So,
yes,
I mean... Even Germany itself, no, I mean, was one of the founder members of the European Union as well. But apart from the European Union, it is spoken in other countries, for example, in Bolzano, in Italy, in Belgium, in the French area of Alsace, in some border villages of Denmark, even outside Germany, there are large communities. The biggest are to be found in America and Canada and Brazil and Argentina. It's very, very popular.
Okay.
I mean, so, and we now have also, if you allow me to put in, fully-fledged German department as well at university.
Okay.
That has been a long time dream. Now it is. It has come true, no?
Yes, I mean, because in fact in Malta we have a lot of business.
Yes, trade relations with
Germany.
Many tourists come to Malta, no? I mean,
absolutely.
Because of the weather. Mainly because of the weather, no? Because in Germany, it's typically like today's weather, no? I mean,
which is absolutely
we have
cold.
We have chosen the right day, no?
For hailing, which makes us all as Maltese miserable. Does the weather really affect the Germans in their character and disposition?
Yes, I mean, a recent survey found out. I don't know whether it is. An erudite survey, but I mean, I read in a German newspaper that about 66% are so-called wetterfühlisch. They depend on the weather conditions. I mean, but
okay.
I mean, Germans are nothing extraordinary. They are just like any other people
human
in the world.
Yes.
No, I mean,
but yes, of course. I mean, especially when you're talking about the UK. I mean, what else can you say about the weather? So, is it similar? Because it's in the same line, isn't it, Germany?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, weather conditions are extremely, very typical like today. I mean, nine months in the year it rains, unless there is these undesired consequences of climate change.
Yes.
No, I mean, It's typical weather, no? I mean, cold weather, rainy weather, snow.
If I can stop you just a little bit and go back to the language, Alfred.
Mm-hmm.
If I had to travel to Germany,
mm-hmm,
and I had to ask for some basic phrases in German, what would you recommend? You know, like one of those pocket dictionaries that you take along, basic phraseology in German.
You should know how to travel, for example. I mean, phrases like wie fahre ich bis or the Gleisnummer. Wie fahre ich?
Ich is the verb.
Ich is the first pronoun, ich, I, no?
Okay.
I mean.
So wie fahre means?
Wie fahre, how do I travel? Okay. Von hier bis, per esempio, the destination you want to know. I mean, how you should know how to introduce yourself. Ich heiße, I mean, my name is, ich komme aus Malta, I come from Malta. No, these kind of phrases, no?
Yes, which for you can come natural, but for me don't.
Or the was kostet, how much, no? Okay. How much is this?
Was kostet. So kostet is almost sounds
like. Wie spät ist this, how, I mean, what's the time? Phrases like this, no?
But is there any similarity to English in German?
Yes, I mean, from the point of view of vocabulary, there are cognates, no? I mean, for example, you know, the word Schaf, no, in German, and sheep in English, no? Eight in English and acht in German. There are cognates.
So is it easy for us to learn German? Because we see similarities in the language. Because I know that a lot of Germans learn English.
There is this misconception here in Malta that German is such a difficult language to learn. Some people say it's impossible to learn. I mean, German is like any other language. It has a language and a grammar structure which is a little bit more complex than other languages. But if you adopt the right methodology, it's something you can learn. I am a living example because I taught myself German when I was young and I wanted to study German. It was not offered. It was simply not offered. I had to study French and Latin. And I remember I started my German because I used to live in Valletta and I used to work on my own and study German because I liked the language. And then I used to take my exercises to a neighbor, and he used to correct it. He was a German teacher. That's how I started.
Okay.
And that's how.
So it's really not difficult. Also, the script is Roman, it's not a problem of script.
It depends. No, it depends on what you put into it. I mean, it's not. I can't say it's not a difficult language. It's more difficult than Italian,
for
example.
For us, Maltese, yes.
And the difficulty basically arises because we are less exposed to the language than Italian. You can watch television. No?
And now we have exposure with some TV.
Yes. So but today with the computer age, you can easily expose yourself and get exposed to the language as well. I mean, it depends on the methodology, no? As in all other languages.
Absolutely.
It's not, I mean, it's what you put in those hours, not the hours you put in, but what you put in those hours.
So, to divert you a little bit, another form of language which is very traditional is music,
mm-hmm.
Alfred.
Mm-hmm.
And today you got a little piece of music, a classical piece of music with you, which we're going to hear from Mendelssohn.
Yes, I got you a section of his violin concertos.
Okay.
No?
Okay, let's just listen to a little bit of it.
Thank you.
interesting. When I was listening to that, Alfred, I think my thoughts were going, this is history and depth here. Mm-hmm. I know we have, you think of other composers as well when you think of German composers, you have Beethoven, you have Bach. Mm. But with this piece of music you got for us today, there's a lot being portrayed.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I mean, we've just been listening to a section of Felix Mendelssohn's Violin Concerto in E minor, no, Opus 64. This was his last large orchestral work and one of the most popular and most frequently performed violin concertos of all time. No? It took 6 years to complete, no? And he dedicated it to a certain Ferdinand David, you know, who was a virtuoso in violin.
So it was almost a sign of respect, this?
Yes, it's a sign of respect. As you know, Felix Mendelssohn was born in 1809 and died in 1847. He was one of the most famous composers, pianists and conductors of the early Romantic period. You might have noticed this
gentle,
typical... No, he was the grandson of the philosopher Moses Mendelssohn. He was born into a noble Jewish family, and then he converted to Christianity. He wrote symphonies, concertos, oratori, piano, and chamber music. I mean, he's extremely well known. No?
You can hear the depth of culture that there is in the music.
Actually, it's a piece of music in three movements with the standard fast, slow and fast, but it's interesting that this was innovative because he inserted things which were not done before, and he influenced many other composers to try something new.
Germans are quite pioneers, aren't they?
Yes, I mean... They are pioneers in various sectors of culture, maybe we can... Okay. Go into this. Actually, Germany is portrayed as Land der Dichter und Denker, no? That is the country of poets and thinkers.
Okay, basically. Philosophy?
Philosophers, yes. Philosophers, poets, I mean... if we go into philosophy, you can mention, I mean, Leibniz, Immanuel Kant, I mean, Schopenhauer, Fichte, Hegel. There are so many, Marx and Engels. Nietzsche, Heidegger.
They did not worry about risk, did they, in thinking? They are able, as we say, to think out of the box and to come up with new theories.
Yes. I mean, they were thinkers. So, I mean, they expressed what they thought, and even if sometimes they went against the grain, no? I mean, but basically... That's it. And we go into the area of literature. We have great poets like Goethe, no? The Shakespeare of German literature, and Schiller. You have the fairy tales of the Brothers Grimm, for example.
Which I think most of our listeners would know.
Yes.
But when you say fairy tales of the Grimm
Brothers. In translation, no?
Yes. There was always a moral behind it, wasn't
Yes. Like in many other fairy tales, no? I mean... And there's this typical also German landscape as background, no? This is what makes them distinctive.
What is the typical German landscape?
There are various types of landscapes. Normally, Germany is divided into four or five different regions. If you go to the north, it's called the Tiefebene, so you have the plains, no, basically. Towards the middle, you have the mountainous areas, no? I mean, the ranging from 500 meters to 1,500 meters high, you have these type of mountains. And then you have the so-called Voralpenlandschaft, that is the landscape associated with the areas in front of the Alps, and the Alpenlandschaft, no? I mean, that's basically the characteristic landscape.
And within what I know is the difference between the Bavarians... Mm-hmm. And the rest. Maybe you can go into it a little bit for us afterwards.
Yes, I mean that is sometimes based on prejudice, but I mean there is this north-south distinction which, I mean, prevails always in European countries. So.
understand. Yes, can you typify it for us?
Yeah, but I mean, because like Bavaria is considered to be the land of music and culture. No, there are cultural sites. It's full of fairy tale kings and castles and innumerable churches and monasteries.
Okay, so when you say Bavaria has this fairy tale culture,
yes.
And Munich is in Bavaria, correct?
There was a very famous king, no, Ludwig II, who built these beautiful castles, like Neuschwanstein. No, I mean, they have not yet been built to completion because, I mean, he wanted them built with the, I mean, most expensive marble that existed in that time. Everything is not gold-plated, but real gold.
Would you typify Germans to be perfectionists?
Yes, yes. I mean, one of the characteristics is definitely they are perfectionists. They have this sense of order. Maybe they are a little bit pedantic sometimes. They want
they are rigid,
extreme order, but I admire them for them. I mean, for
it's
this.
It's a form
I
of
mean,
discipline. Almost.
Yes, it is. Oh, they are very disciplined people, very punctual people, and they tell you exactly what they have to tell you. I mean, without mincing their words.
No qualms.
No roundabout ways of saying. I mean, you know where you stand with a German. No, I mean, if okay. he wants to tell you, I mean, this is not. Not good. I mean, he won't tell you in any other way, but he says,
which in our culture might be considered offensive.
Yes, I mean, it's different too. We have a Mediterranean, everything goes culture, no?
Okay, here, yeah, I can hear where your alliance lies.
This is the thing. Oh, that's why I admire them, because I mean, we have this. I mean, how shall I put it? This dilettantesque, no? I mean, amateurish way of doing things. We everything goes. No, the Germans are gründlich, they call it. No, they are pedantic. They are thorough. They want everything done to perfection. Maybe a little bit too much.
But when you form, you have a rigidity. Then, Alfred, let me be the devil's advocate. Then, how do you get about these new ideas and the creativity that comes along?
Yeah, because then you make use of fantasy. I mean, all these great thinkers. I mean, Germany is also, a country of books, no? I mean, 350 daily newspapers, thousands of magazines.
Daily Germans, newspapers?
Yeah,
how many were there?
350. Some of them are regional, some of them go beyond being regional, like, I mean, the most important newspapers like the Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung, like the Süddeutsche Zeitung, thousands of magazines like Spiegel and Stern, you know, I mean, and the Germans themselves, wherever you see them, they are reading, no? I mean, this
They're
is what I admire them.
Yes.
I mean, in Malta, you hardly see anybody reading, I mean.
We have a different way of reading. I think we're getting more into internet.
No, we yes, but that's not the right interplay, no, with the book, no. It's a completely different. That's why they have great authors. No, I was mentioning Goethe, Schiller, the Grimm. I was going to mention Thomas Mann, Günter Grass, Heinrich Heine, Bertolt Brecht, Hermann Hesse. Most of them were even Nobel Prize winners, no? I mean,
yes.
Thomas Mann, Hermann Hesse, Heinrich Böll is another.
When you have this type of person, you're saying this sort of perfectionist, do they become extremists in their behavior too, though, because of this?
Sometimes. And they had problems with the people around them as well. No? But they were ready to start something innovative, no? And to defend their ideas. I mean, sometimes as can usually happen, they were misunderstood because they were more advanced than the age in which they were writing. It could happen. I mean,
yes. When we go back to food, okay.
Food. I think
I mean, are they perfectionists in their food as well? How does that reflect in the food?
If you're thinking in terms of eating healthy, I mean, even though, as you know, everywhere in the world people are getting health conscious, but if you see what they eat, I don't think they are very, very, very health conscious. No, I mean,
I was going to ask you about the stereotype of the sausage and beer.
And the sausage and beer and no, beer is can be healthy. No, I mean, apart from being a drink, it's part of their culture as well. No, I mean, and well, they have very nice kuchen. No, these cakes.
Which is what, Alfred? Sorry, I don't know. When you say kuchen, what is it?
Like the English afternoon tea, you know, they eat a cake. There are so many varieties of cakes.
And the bread as well.
Their characteristic sweets, you know, for Christmas, for example. Wine also. I mean, Germany is very renowned for
is there
wine.
A specific
especially
area?
The. I mean, the. The areas of Rhineland-Pfalz and Baden-Württemberg, they produce Riesling, for example. The white wine is very good. No? I mean, but as I say,
but how are people like you say, like the Italians, for living? Because how do you've described?
Yes, I mean, there's a misconception here as well. Oh, the people think that Germans, I mean, reserved people and. Germans are happy-go-lucky people. They like to enjoy life. I mean, if you just mention the Bavarian festival, no, this Oktoberfest, no?
Yes.
It's called Oktoberfest. Actually, it starts in September, late in September.
But is it because Oktoberfest it finishes or because they have to hang over in Oktoberfest?
No, I mean, it's... You can see that, I mean, you get an idea what the Germans are. There are concerts, art exhibitions, theater, wine festivals, I mean.
Okay, so as a person wanting to do business in Germany, what would you advise me?
Business in Germany, I mean, you have to prepare yourself well. I mean, you have to have ready money and, I mean...
The standards and the expectations out of you
are very high. They are very high, and I mean...
Because they expect that out of themselves.
Yes, yes.
So they would expect it out of others.
Yes, yes. Especially now that we have this big recession in...
Absolutely.
In the whole world, no? I mean, you read about the problems which car makers are experiencing in Germany. To sell their cars, I mean,
they're looking
producing
at the shop
cars,
floor
and,
day and, seeing
and nobody is buying them because people have no money to buy those kind of cars. Because I mean,
I'm sure Germany is going to be hit in this recession.
It has already been hit. I mean, it's in the news now. The Opel company and many other companies in Germany have been hit by this.
Okay. Thanks, Alfred, for coming along, talking to us on such a diverse range today with us.
I mean, it's such a vast topic. I mean, you can't
really...
We could only do a taste of it, Alfred.
I know you found great difficulty with me trying to tell you, don't go into depth to this. This is just a taste of what they have. But one of the things that you have portrayed really quite successfully is that the Germans are perfectionists in whatever they do. So if we had to look at a subject like art, food, you can go on about it and give us... the history of it, right up to today's modern, contemporary
look.
More
than just
half
an hour. 30-minute program.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Alfred.
Hopefully, I mean, your listeners will have got this taste and will try to probe more into
learning the language, you're learning the culture, and you're learning as
Why not? Maybe they join our newly founded German department. No, now it's a fully-fledged department. We are offering... very good courses. We have the collaboration of two German lecturers as well who've come to Malta.
Absolutely.
So
learning a little
there
bit
is,
more.
There's a lot which you can
learning
do.
A little bit more about German and Germany. Thank you so much. That was a program brought to you by the International School of Languages, A Taste Of. This is Michelle Caruana Dingley.